welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum issue 116. I want to say thank you everybody for checking us out on YouTube. I know there's not a lot of followers on YouTube, but that's okay. We're still in the infancy.
And, still love you.
Yeah, we still care about you guys. Still got some love for you. But thank you guys for checking us out on Facebook. I know we got a lot of followers on Facebook. And we got some changes coming down the pike with for Heroes Asylum. So you may be seeing us on other locations as well. I've recently adventured into TikTok and playing with that. So we might have some moments there. And some schedule changes are coming down the road. But before we get into that, Kane is with me, just like always. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic, my friend. I guess we talked in the green room a little while ago about my first foray into Game of Thrones, so I'm just like totally psyched and going crazy, and I'm turning to that. I basically turned into the person that people were 3 or 4 years ago about saying like, I'm spitting on the Lannister's grave and like I hate these guys, you know, death, 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 and like I love Ned and Tyrion's cool and Arya. Like I'm on that train now, so and. Which is going to lead me to something else that I've teased, which will happen very, very soon. But yeah, I'm on that train, but I'm doing quite well, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And yes, folks, I am biting my tongue like you would not believe when it comes to this. Trust me.
He really was when we're in the green room. He's literally just saying, do you get there?
Yeah, I was like, oh. We'll talk in a month after you're done watching everything, and you've seen it all because yeah, there's not much I can say without like you know spoiling the shit. So
yeah, you know, thanks, I appreciate that. But we'll be doing something with Game of Thrones. I'll just say that it's coming very, very, very soon. So yeah.
All right, guys. So we're gonna get started. Like I said, we got some plans for some changes for Heroes Asylum. We're gonna take a break. I think what we're gonna try to do is jump around every other week right now, because there's a lot of like changes happening on in the background. But there will be some things throughout the week. Sporadic. Like I said, I've been looking into checking out TikTok. You know, there's a quick little hey, how you guys doing? Checking in, so we might, you know, start jumping in that area. But we are not going away. We're just, I guess you can kind of call these our growing pain moments. I'm going to have to step back to take care of a couple of things on the back end. And, of course, you're going to do the same thing because the show is growing.
Yeah. It's the way I've always looked at it is, you know, you're a big music fan like I am. And I remember a concert that you two had. It was the last tour of the Joshua Tree tour. And they basically had, don't do that.
I can't stand you.
Why do you do that?
I hate you too. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, look, and I'm trying to make a point here.
And so did I.
don't throw your hate on you two. I love you two. Okay. There's nothing wrong with you two guys. Anyway, they had toured the Joshua Tree. I think it was like 2 or 3 years of that album. And it finally, the last night of the tour, Bono was sitting up on stage. And, you know, you got to realize they've been playing for 3 years the same album, you know, basically the album that made him. And Bono literally went on stage and said, hey, you know, guys, we're going to go away for a while. And we just got to dream it all again. So in the way I look at it, us taking a little step back, we just got to step back and just dream it up all again. That's it. I'm not going away. Just, you know, going to reconfigure some things and, you know, adapt. And that's about it. We'll be back. We're not going nowhere.
Yeah, not going nowhere. Just not going to be here every week is all. But like I said, we're still on Facebook. We still will see us there. And there's some, like I said, just little things. So like I said, to kind of fill it in, I think I'm going to pop in, you know, do like 10, 15 minute little ones, you know, throughout the week. I've always wanted to do it, and this will give me the reason to do it. But let's start off. Unfortunately, we got to start off on a downer. This is something that kind of like happened May 6th, but it was not told to anybody until May 20th. The creator of Berserker, Kentaro Miyamoto, amazing Japanese manga artist. We don't talk about manga that much because I'm not that big into it, but Berserk is the end-all, be-all of manga when it comes to that. This guy has been consistently putting out Berserk since 1989 up until his death. He passed away. Looks like he had acute aortic dissection. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But he passed away May 6th. His family wanted to keep it very quiet and until, you know, everything was settled down. And then they made the announcement on May 20th. But like I said, this guy is amazing. With Berserk alone, he's made more than 50 million copies in circulation. And it's making it one of the best mangas out there. So make sure you guys, you know, if you guys are interested, check that out. It is amazing. I know manga is a little tough to read sometimes because you're reading backwards, but I've read Berserk. God, it's been 6 years ago, I think. And the first volume, he's got so many volumes out there, but it was just amazing. And it's anything, whenever I see anything about that and anything he's done, I always like to check it out.
Just the amount of length that he's had of doing that manga from, as you said, 89 until he passed away, it's an accomplishment itself. I never read any of them. I've heard of them. Like, you know, you said you read a couple. I guess you read a book or a volume. But just that length that he had, I mean, just you got to admire that.
Yeah.
And like I said, manga's a little bit hard to read, depending if you're a fan or not. But you got to admire the guy's work. I mean, lengthy work. So rest in peace. And, you know, there'll never be another.
Yeah, he will definitely be missed. There's a massive fan base that's going to miss him. Something else that happened a little bit in the past, on Thursday, we actually had the anniversary. I'm sorry, I take that back. On Wednesday last week, we had the anniversary of the continuing saga of Star Wars. Phantom Menace came out 20 years ago on the 19th of May. Really make you feel old when you look at that. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, a long time.
So I remember taking my son to go see that. The saga basically continued for us. You know, we got the extended world. We got to see more of, you know, Lucas and what he, you know, his idea and his thought. Hate it, love it, whatever your opinion is about it. You know, I know it was extremely divisive when it came out. You know, before divisive was really a thing in pop culture, but it was very divisive. Now it's really funny to see the opinion of it change 20 years later, or right. 15, honestly. I think the opinion of it started changing 15 years later. But again, you also had these people that were kids, you know. You had the 8-year-olds and the 9-year-olds that had watched it. Well, guess what? Now they're 28, 29, almost 30, some of these guys. And they're content creators, and they're out there, you know, boasting about what they felt. You know, they're now vocal like we are, and I welcome them to be out there and be vocal about what they love in Star Wars, because there's just so much to love.
And a lot of their reasoning, too, of their love for the prequels is pretty solid as well. It's not just, oh, I just love the prequels because I grew up with them. No, they actually make a point-for-point basis of why the prequels are so good. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the prequels, just not me, but I can't but help to admire people who like them. You know, that's something in itself. I'm not a fan, but yeah. Hey. You know.
And honestly, I really feel that we wouldn't have some of the product that we have now because Filoni is a huge fan of the prequels. You know, and Filoni now has just been promoted up to director of creative.
I think he's executive
creator. So, he's in an amazing spot, which is where he needs to be. I mean, he should have been there when Lucas backed away. Yes, let Kathleen do her thing, be the one that runs everything, but she put somebody in that position, in that creative position. I don't know who was in there beforehand.
That's a good question. I want to find
because that might be the person we should be yelling at, not, you know, taking a
find that guy.
Yeah, they'll find that person. Yeah. And go, what were you thinking? But now he's where he needs to be. You know, we always talked about that he sat at the feet of, you know, the St. George Lucas, and, you know, listened to his prophecies and listened to his stories and was given the book. And now he's in the right place because guess what? Everything he has touched has not only been amazing, it's done the one thing that pretty much nothing else has done, you know, in Star Wars community. It has united everybody. It has united the prequelists. It's united the OG us, and it's united the sequel folks. So
somehow he's managed to take, because you said he's a big fan of the prequels, and if you look at it, through his lens, he's like from the prequels. A lot of the stuff we have now is from there. Mm-hmm. We got Rebels from the prequels. We got Clone Wars from the prequels. Bad Batch is from the prequels. Even to some point, The Mandalorian is an extension of some form of the prequels. I mean, yes, the OG series in the middle there, of course, but still, you're having that prequel vibe. Like Ahsoka, prequels. Come on now. Like, a lot of the newer stuff is from that era that is branched out and allowed to breathe.
And like, what I love about the newer stuff is that it links the prequels to the OG stuff.
Yes.
That's the perfect connector. That's threading that now what they have to do is now take that threading from the prequels and the origin, you know, the original ones, and then bring that to the sequels and have that threading more. They tried to do it with Resistance, but unfortunately, I wasn't a fan of Resistance. I haven't found a bad Star Wars animated, even the droids, as annoying as they were, that animated, Resistance, I just couldn't grab.
I never got into it.
I tried. I really did.
Just not me. It was more kiddie. I mean, I get it was geared to kids, but just not me. And then sometimes when they make stuff for kids, like, I'll get into it. Like, I guess at the beginning they said Clone Wars was for kids, but like maybe the first season, but after that, no.
Yeah, they started branching away. But when you look at the first movie of Clone Wars, that first animated one that's now open on Disney, I can't remember the director's name now, but it was a completely different director and different style altogether. That was more adult oriented. Mm-hmm. But when they, you know, once they went to TV, and again, I've heard a lot of our compatriots, you know, and that do love Star Wars right along with us, that they get upset that, oh, it's a kiddie thing. Well, Star Wars was always made for kids. It's just we still have the kid in us that's, you know, still there. And
have you seen my background?
Yeah,
it's still there, man. It's not going nowhere.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it is funny. So much going on. Like I said, Star Wars is 20 years before the prequels were creeping up. I mean, really, I hate to say it, we're 6 years away, 7 years away from the 50 years for Star Wars itself, the original. Oh, so
yeah, that's gonna be something.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. Big blowout for that one. Yeah, I mean, because that changed so much. It's affected not just the how they do filming and how they do storytelling, but it's also it's created a religion and it's created things that people connect.
Literally a religion. Mm-hmm. There's literally a religion out there.
Yeah, there's a Jedi religion. It's mostly based, I think it's heavy in Australia and New Zealand area, but it's branched out. And but you have that, and you have the things that the cosplayers do. You look at the 501st and what those guys do, the guys and girls do in the 501st, and how they affect their community. Mm-hmm. It's just that one thing, that idea of Lucas and I picked up, I finally got my I'm still waiting for my Ralph McQuarrie pop for Vader, but I got Yoda. I got it delivered to me today. It looks amazing. Yeah. It's where he's long hair and a little bit skinnier. And I didn't order the 4-pack that it was R2-D2, C-3PO, and then Yoda. No, later. I was just like, let me just get the two I really want. I went out shopping today to Target, and in the pops, there's that C-3PO. I was like,
see, there you go. There's
I was like, hair. I have never seen any of those out in public. I've never seen the concept series out in public before, but to be just sitting in the middle of Target where there is no other fun pops, or like wrestlers and the Kardashian pops, and like just say it was like a mix of weird crap. I'm like, C-3PO, hey, you're coming home with me. And of course, I was at like a dollar cheaper if I, when I bought it there. So
you willed it into existence.
Oh, yeah, that's basically it. And of course, that saved me from spending, I think, $70 on a book series. I was about ready to drop to get the whole series.
Just to get that pop?
Yeah, I was like, man, oh, nope, I'm going to get this. That's gonna save me money.
There you go. See?
All right, so what do you got, man?
Hey, guess what's coming back on HBO?
I don't know. What?
You don't know? Well, you probably do know one of them. Well, guess what? The Batman is coming back, baby! The Bat is coming back, and is Batman the Caped Crusader, a new animated series that is going to be straight to HBO Max, kids. It is going to be produced by J.J. Abrams, which, I don't particularly like him, but he's getting the OG gang back together. He's getting Bruce Timm. He's getting Paul Dini. He's getting all the guys. So we're finally going to get a new Batman animated series. And from what I've read, it's going to be filmed sort of like in a film noir type style, I guess, because that's what they're going with the new incarnation of the Batman movie. So I guess they're going to keep that thread going forward in the animated stuff. And joy, happy guy right here. Happy guy. Because you know what? It's not even that who you have behind the scenes. Behind the scenes is whatever, but they're bringing the OGs back. They're bringing Dini back. They're bringing Tim back. I mean, they're probably bringing Andrea Romano back too for the casting, because she was the one who cast a lot of those voice actors. And knowing her, she's probably going to find some new talent, because you're not going to have the older guys like we talked about before. We're not going to have Hamill and Conroy on a full-time basis because as we've
I think before, she's retired, by the way.
Is she retired?
Dude, you got to think, when did that cartoon come out?
Oh, 92.
Okay, yeah. Think how long ago that was. And she was in her 30s by then. So I bet you she's probably retired by now. So that, but I will have faith in it. It's HBO, because you got to remember, you know, when HBO rolled out Spawn, what they did there.
Threw it up at midnight on Friday nights.
So if we get that, if they go that route and don't, you know, say, hey, listen, you know, this is for that noir, like you said, it's going to be that noir style. Maybe do that, you know, say, hey, this is for the adults, you know, your kids, you can watch it, or it's not going to be Spawn level, you know, gore and everything, but still.
Yeah, a lot of violence, a lot of adult situations probably will happen there. You ain't going to see no gore. I don't think so. I mean, just maybe Batman punching somebody in the face and breaking some teeth.
Well, because they're talking it to be like based off like the psychology. So it's going to have to fall into that dark Joker feel. If I'm going to refer to Joker, I'm referring to the movie at that, of how they delved into the psychology of him.
That'd be cool.
Oh, I'm reading one of the articles, and that's what that's what it was saying. Bat Noir's roots, while driving deeply into the psychology of these iconic characters, so not just Batman. So hopefully, we'll see the introduction of other folks and other characters, which I think will be great to see.
Hopefully, the characters are out there, like the villains. I really don't want to see no origins, because I don't think you need to at this point. I mean, do you really?
They may for this world, since this is a new world, and it looks like they're trying to tie everything together, because we're going to have the Gotham series, then we're going to have this animated series, and then we're going to have the Batman next year. I think they're doing what we've always talked about doing, is building product and property around a big thing. You know, they're not doing video games anymore. They're not going to release a soundtrack with it. I mean, they'll release, you know, the orchestrated soundtrack. But I think what they're doing is they're building a hype for the Batman to come out. So, and I wonder if they're going to go ahead and follow through with it, because the Batman does this week. They announced, you know, and showed a little bit about the Riddler, that he's going to be kind of more of like a Zodiac killer, like a Riddler, not the jokester, you know, Loki-esque kind of Riddler, playing riddles and stuff. So that kind of gave me hope when I read that. But again, like they said, it was supposed to be another one based off a Long Halloween. Because I think that's everybody's bases are their Batman.
Everybody's borrowing the Long Halloween nowadays. It's like back in the day, they used to borrow everything from The Dark Knight Returns. Now everything is Long Halloween. It's just, it's crazy how everything just kind of rotates around. But I kind of, at first, I was very critical of like, oh, Edward Masterson, like, boo, that's not the Riddler. But then I saw that image. Then I saw that exact article you read. And you know what? This guy here got very happy, because I'm a big fan of that Zodiac movie. Ever seen a Zodiac movie with Robert Downey Jr.? Yep. Such a good movie. And they said, like, right in that article, Zodiac type killer vibe. I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm in. I'll take it now. If you're going to go that vibe, it doesn't take much. But if you're going to do something like that, something grounded in reality like that, I'm in. So,
that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. And yeah, in this article, it does make reference to that animated series we were just talking about, that Reeves is involved in that new animated series as well. So,
oh, he is?
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, so they're going to all bring it in. So like, and like I said, you're going to have the HBO Max series, the GCPD, and then director Matt Reeves is also involved in the new animated series. And it's splitting from the DCEU, which
they said on the fan – film last year, which is what I was like, oh, that's fine. I know that's not the Batman that I want, but
yeah,
it exists somewhere else.
So far, it's not the Batman I want, but it's sounding more and more like the world I want. That's the one thing I think I'll give Reeves the credit in that he's building the world I want to see for Batman.
It's just not the Batman I want.
I hate to backpedal, and I guess I'm going to do it anyways, because you know we've only seen a total of what, 20 seconds of him.
I agree, but like, so, do I like what I've seen so far? No,
no,
but
yeah, no.
Like I said, I don't like what I've seen. Again, but I'll reemphasize it by saying, and I said in the past podcast, but I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah,
my opinion might change. Maybe I'll come out of the movie like, oh my god, he's really good. I hope I do. But my opinion of Batman right now has always been the one that has been yours for a long time now. I love the grizzled older guy who's been through the wars. And I think he would have fit so perfectly in his Matt Reeves world. He would have fit like a glove.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, like, he's 20 years, just like the gritty, grim Gotham, and, like, you know, him talking to Alfred after a night out, taking the cowl off, sitting on the chair, drinking some of the tea and some soup or whatever. He's like, hey, man, Alfred, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I mean, just like that little dialogue that they always have, it'd be kind of cool. But again, we'll see. I mean, they showed some cool images of the Riddler, which is fantastic. They actually showed the Batmobile as well.
Yeah.
In that same article, they also mentioned that he's going to have two suits. So I guess the suit that he's wearing now is not going to be the final suit, which leads me to believe to some other speculation that maybe he ends up the movie with the original, with the yellow in the background of the emblem of the Bat. I'm just guessing.
Well, I've seen two pictures. Like, I'm looking at one from the Forbes magazine, and this one does not look like the suit that we saw, that I've seen in other clips, where it's like the bat symbol is like made up of the guns.
Yeah.
That this one just looks like it's an actual symbol into the armor.
Into the armor?
Yeah. So, but make sure, you know, we got to have nipples. So that's all, you know.
Yeah, need nipples, man. That is a prerequisite of any bat suit.
But they are saying, yeah, that basically Edward Nygma is going to be a split personality killer. So he will have this.
Interesting.
Which kind of goes back to something we've talked about before. The original, the Gotham series was what he was. That was a split personality.
It's strange that they're kind of lifting stuff from that Gotham TV series.
It was really good.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. That's how much I freaking hated that show when it first started. Then somebody twisted my arm and made me watch it a different way, and I actually started to like it. So
we got news this week. It's a little like just boiling up right now. Nothing serious right now. But Henry Cavill is in talks right now to star in the Lionsgate Highlander reboot with Chad.
Straczynski?
No, it's not Straczynski. No, it is Stolinski. Okay, Stolinski, not Straczynski. Straczynski is somebody else. Stolinski is who we're looking at. Straczynski. So, and he you know, helmed and directed John Wick. So, interesting. I think you and I have sort of talked about this already. My opinion is Cavill's in amazing shape. He is perfect for Kurgan. But not Highlander, not Connor. If they go the route of Connor, I just don't think somebody. He looks amazing in The Witcher. I'm not gonna that character and for that it seems to work. For me, Highlander is just like, it's supposed to be an everyday guy, and he just turns immortal and just has this. He's nothing special other than the fact that he's immortal. You know, all these immortals are just normal, run of the mill, everyday people. They just are immortal. And that's the only thing that I'm kind of worried about, that if they go that route, I don't want my Highlander to be ripping and bulking. So,
yeah, I offer, like, when I talked to you about it, that was the same opinion I had. I was like, I if he could be the Kurgan, great. But if he's the Connor McCloud, like, the Connor McCloud character is not a big ripping guy. You know, he's a guy who's basically lived like you and me. He's a normal dude. He's lived so long throughout the centuries. He's gained his skills. He's gained his knowledge. Right. So I want a guy who's been through it, like, and I don't want, like, a big ripped guy who's like, hey, you know, and he looks like a Hounder. I want a guy who's like an everyday Joe. That's what the Hounder was. Like, look at the TV show for the longest time with Adrian Paul. Look at all those guys. They were all kind of average, run-of-the-mill people, right? You couldn't pick them out of a crowd. Oh, that guy's immortal. That guy's immortal. Right? No, you couldn't do that because they just lived that long, and they just kind of, like, blended in. I don't think Henry Cavill can blend in being an immortal. Like, he kind of – yeah, that's the thing. Like,
well, I mean, he kind of worked. I mean, he kind of worked with, like, when he was on Enola Holmes. You know, he did kind of, like, but again, it was like clothes that were a little bit bigger than on him.
And plus, he was a big character in that movie. He was, like, in it for what, maybe 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, which I hear they're doing a sequel with him. He's going to be in the sequel. So
Enola Holmes. Yeah. I liked his version of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. So they're talking about it. This has been in, you know, production hell. Forever. Ryan Reynolds was connected to it at one point. Justin Lin was connected to it at one point. So it's, again, this is just kind of rumors. I throw this one in the same bucket as I would.
The Crow?
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where I was going. The Crow. I'm like, it comes up every once in a while, boils to the top. Hey, we're doing this. We're talking about this. You know, and then it goes away. So, but I hope Henry finds something. You know, I do know that
I would like him to be in the movie.
Yeah,
I would. I mean, if he in cameo or dude as the Kurgan, he'd be awesome as the Kurgan.
I just don't know if he's got that. Again, Clancy just made an iconic character.
It's Clancy.
It's going to be tough to fill those. But again, if Henry's a great actor, he can make that. If he can turn evil, I would love to see. You always talked about you want to see your evil Superman. Well, there you go. I throw a beard on him and give, let him go lower in the tones in his voice. I mean, he might be able to pull it off. So maybe, and it doesn't really say that he's going to be Connor. He's just in talks for the movie. So maybe that's what they are doing. And the rest of us fanboys are all jumping, going, "Oh, he's going to be Connor." He may not be. Who knows? He could be playing Ramirez.
No, man, you can't have him play Ramirez, dude. No, you need somebody of an older stature to play Ramirez right now. I Henry Cavill's Ramirez, nah. See, that's even worse than Connor McLeod.
Not really. I don't think that. I think Ramirez could be played because, dude, we're talking about a Scottish man playing a Spanish guy who was playing being supposed to be from Egypt. What? I mean, come on, dude. It's so anybody could really drop in that. I mean, that's really what it is.
Oh,
when you think about what Ramirez and who he was, that's,
you know what? Stand corrected. You are. I forgot about it. I'm a Spanish guy from Phoenicia, from Egypt. Yeah. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, no, he never said he was Spanish, and then he went to Japan, and then
had with Connor. He was like, I thought you were Spanish.
And then you had a French man playing a Scottish man. So really that kind of, but yeah, no, I think somebody like him playing like a Ramirez because he's got that snarkiness, you know, especially, you know, if you watch Enola Holmes, you know, he's got that smart ass, you know, side to him, but a little smart about it too. So it's like I said, there's no weight on which character he's going to play. They just said he's in talks with them. So let's see what happens. I love to see Henry. Love to see him, you know, back in the tights with the cape. But anything else he can do, I'm always a big fan. I'm a fan of watching him. Like watch him building his own computer and playing. He gets online and plays online.
He's a
video
geek,
games.
Dude. He's a geek. He built that his own geek. PC, I see it online. Dude, like, this guy is ripped, and he's a geek.
Well, same thing with Vin Diesel. Huge, huge D&D fan and WoW fan. I mean, you would be surprised the geeks that are out there that are ripped. We're just the lazy ones.
Yeah, some of us.
All right, man, what you got next?
Hey, we talked about last week, I guess the beginning of the show, we talked about McFarlane action figures, my search that I recently got. I got the Wonder Woman, Built Bane. Yeah, yay me. But, And McFarlane also released some Mortal Kombat figures, which has been out for a while now. Now, McFarlane is going to release the first official image of his new Spawn line. And it comes out. I have it right, the image right in front of me. A couple new characters with the text of the Mortal Kombat Spawn figure line and his DC Direct. Wave 1 of the new Spawn figures is going to be released. It doesn't say the date, but it's going to kick off with a couple old favorites. And I'll name them if you haven't read the cop, and I'll give you a little name dropping. First one's going to be the Redeemer. It's kind of cool. A gunslinging Spawn that's fully articulated. Raven Spawn, which is not revealed in this image, but I have seen it. Looks creepy as hell. And he kind of looks like Nob Sanook from Mortal Kombat. The Clown dressed as a survivalist. His monster alterous ego, the Violator. And apparently it's going to be some more deluxe packages, but those are the four right now that I have in the screen in front of me. And I got to say, the Redeemer looks really cool.
What about the Shocker? Is the Shocker going to come out too?
No Shocker. Hell, you talking about the Shocker? Get out of here.
You don't have your screen up. It's okay. You didn't see it.
Is there a Shocker? No, I have my screen up of the image. The Shocker's not in there.
No, it's not.
Oh, now you have me looking at the.
All right. He doesn't see what I'm doing, folks. It's okay. I'm just being an ass.
Oh, and that's why, because I was looking.
Yeah, see. Well, that's good. We all knew, you know, McFarlane was going to go back to what he knows and what he loves, you know, his own property.
It looks cool, man, especially the Redeemer. The Redeemer looks tight. Like, the first action figure after the Redeemer did not have those wings. He was just more like this, right? Now he's articulate. He's moving. He's got wings. He's got this cool axe. He's got that cool helmet. It looks like Dr. Fate. I think it looks dope. I don't know about the rest of the figures. Raven Spawn looks cool. The other ones look kind of wonky, but I like those two so far. And I think they'll be going on that shelf pretty soon, but I don't know where, because I don't have enough room.
Got to make room.
I got
so a 52-year-old Dave Bautista says he's quitting Guardians of the Galaxy over basically shirtless scenes. Have you read this one?
Oh God, no.
He's basically saying that he wants to continue, but because of his character's look, and I guess they've talked about it, that, you know, he's like, I can't do this anymore. I'm 52. Yes, I'm in good shape, great shape, but the shirtless things are getting harder and harder to do. you know?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I think eventually if he does continue with Guardians, if he's going to eventually have to get like a jacket or shirt on him. Just, you know, human nature. I don't see him being ripped forever.
No, and that's the thing. He's just like, I just can't do him anymore. So he's like, you know, this is probably going to be my last one. You know, I guess maybe he's had talks and said, you know, hey, can we throw a muscle shirt on him, a tank top? And so,
how much further does the character have to go? I mean, let's be honest.
There's not much more. I mean, he's done. That character's done its deed. And again, we've got one more movie coming out with it. So maybe we'll see, you know, some more for it. But again, Dave Bautista is still doing an amazing job. I mean, you got a chance to watch it last night. I watched it the other day, the Army of the Dead from Zack Snyder. I mean, just amazing, amazing movie. If you guys haven't gotten a chance to watch it.
Oh, man. So it's just fun.
And yes, the world needed a 2.5 hour long zombie movie. Okay. I don't care what those people out there are saying on social media about it's bloated. No, it's not bloated. It's what is there is needed. And it was perfect.
Especially the alpha zombie. That guy was intense.
Somebody asked me, I was talking to Cindy about that. And I was like, she's like, what is it? I go, it's kind of, it's a zombie movie, but a mix of like Ocean's 11 and I Am Legend, you know, because you get more of the zombie subculture of what's going on. Like, cool. What happened in I Am Legend? Cause you find out that these things have of their own culture and their own pecking order, so to speak.
I dug that, man. Or the one that I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
There's one particular scene towards the beginning of the movie where something happens and you realize like one of the characters explains why she's doing this, and it's part of that culture thing. Yeah. It's like, this is sort of like, hey, we have to do this to get in here. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we have to follow certain rules to go into their territory, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's setting up a community, a culture, you know.
Which I like, because it's not a mindless zombie movie. Yep. We've got so many of those.
Partial. There are your mindless, and then there are your runners, like kind of what they called them, I think. And
Shimmers. I think they call them shimmers.
Shimmers, right? Okay. And, you know, so you have those, which are great, and they explain why they're different, what makes them different than the rest.
And the explanation is cool.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, yeah. So I feel, I've heard a lot of reviews, it's bloated, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's not. It was what it was needed. It needed to build up the story, and you needed the backstory. And I have to tell you, Zack Snyder did something in this movie at the very, 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 very beginning, at the opening credits, that he could have done in Justice League.
Could have.
And cut out 5 movies.
I know what you're talking about.
The intro, and I'm just giving away a little bit of the intro. The intro tells the story of how the zombie apocalypse happened. And it happens in kind of like this really kind of blocky, slow moving, and then it speeds up, and you hear news reports and this and this. And he literally built this world during the opening credits. And I was like, holy crap, he could have done this and made the DC universe in one movie and killed off, like I said, 3 to 5 movies that you didn't need, because you could have gotten the explanation of where Martian Manhunter came from. You don't need an origin story. You know, you could have explained where Cyborg came from within that time frame. I don't know how long the opening credits were, but they were more than enough.
Maybe 2-3 minutes. It wasn't long. Yeah.
But even then, but they explained who Batista, you know, who Dave Batista's character was, who the other people were, what happened to them, what happened to the rest of the world. You even had a connection of a mother and daughter. You were introduced to a character and the daughter of that character and them dying, and you felt something for them without them even saying a word.
You know what it reminded me of?
Like, it just blew me away.
It reminded me of probably one of the best openings to a movie that describe the history of something in literally 2-3 minutes, and that's The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Remember the Hulk movie with Edward Norton? They didn't do no origin. You had everything you had literally the beginning credits of what happened.
And I think they can do that for other comic book themed movies and not have to spend money on an intro story, and they can delve harder into the origin.
You can do it right there. What if it's a character? Like, if it's a character you don't know, I get. But if it's a character you've done, you could do it like that, like just catch everybody real quick.
Like we talk about, we always joke about it. I don't want to see any more pearls. I don't want to see Krypton blowing up. You can tell the origin story of Batman during the opening credit scenes. We can have the pearls drop, but it's during the beginning. We don't need to see them walking out and having the story of him being scared and all this. And we can just have that moment flashing as it's happening, and then seeing him train and maybe have seen Batman battle different what look like
with him with the ski mask on going out for
and then have and then have him showing him for a year or so battling Joker, battling the different the different villains, and then actually have him 15 years into his career, bam, they're there. They can, you can just drop him into
that sounds so freaking cool.
I love what he did on that. And and another thing on the movie, guys, Tig, I can't remember her last name, but Tig, she's the in the movie, she's the helicopter pilot, she's always smoking a cigar. She wasn't there for filming,
which I can't believe.
I read that after I watched it, that Tig has never met Dave Bautista, and they were in scenes together, but the person that was in the scenes got cut because of, you know, some legal issues. So they hired Tig after they were done filming, and she went back in and literally, like, dropped her into the scenes, and it's flawless.
It is flawless. Because when you told me that last night, I was like, no. And you're like, I'm like, what?
Yep.
So I guess she was acting against what, like stock footage or green screens?
She was probably in a green screen, and she was acting against she had something to act on.
Good acting.
Honestly, what they really can do, especially when you look at how the Mandalorians filmed in that dome thing, they probably use that technology. Because you can just play the freaking movie behind her and she can just act into it. But yeah, I was amazed when I read that. So, but definitely, guys, check that movie out. Really good. Really fun. Yes, it's about two and a half hours, I think. But it's well worth it, guys. I know I'm not a heavy zombie guy, but this was just pure fun. I actually, at the final, like the big final finale of it, I was like on the edge of my seat, and I wasn't in the theater. I was sitting in my room. So, and I was like, man, what's going to happen? So
there is room for a sequel if they wanted to do it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
There is room. So.
That's my opinion. That last scene did not have to happen.
Yeah.
It should have ended with his daughter.
It should have. I didn't like the whole
thing. I didn't like that second. Yeah. I was like, overkill. Yeah. I was like, so, no, don't do that. So what else you got?
What do I have here? Yeah. Sorry, guys. I lost a screen because Mike was making fun of me. So, guess what? They're making a Batwoman movie coming to HBO Max from the directors. I guess this is a fast. I have it around. God damn it. It left. Sorry, guys. It's right. Here it is. Bad Boys for Life directors will helm the Batgirl movie. The directors behind 2020's highest grossing film about to leave their mark in the DC universe, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Bad Boys for Life helmers. I'm going to screw these guys' names up and forgive me. Aida El-Harib and Bali Fali will... God bless you. We'll direct Warner Brothers' long gestating Batgirl film. Now, if you guys don't know, this film was in development in 2017 with Josh Whedon hired on to pen the script and all that stuff. But then we all know what happened with Josh. Film a little bit of trouble and has stayed in trouble, sadly. But so we're going to get a Batgirl film by these two guys. Should be interesting. She's an interesting character. I will say that I never thought, out of all the Bat family characters, to get a solo film. I didn't think, you know, she would get her own standalone film, but hey, if you got a good script and you can make it work, there's a lot of rich history in there, especially with her and her father. I don't know where they're going to lead off. Are they going to put like the stuff that happened in The Killing Joke where she got crippled and became Oracle? I don't know. Or will it be her first couple of years as Batgirl, training under Bruce and Batman, or just her by herself? There's a lot of ways they can go with.
Yeah, there are. She could just be seeing Batman in the running around the city and being inspired by him. I don't know if they kept Wheaton's script. If they did, I think it would be very smart of them, because the one thing I will say about Wheaton, the things he's been in trouble for, really surprised me based off of how he writes. He writes for very pro, strong female characters. That's what you need. He's not that much in trouble with HBO. He just released a show with them, The Nevers. All right. If you haven't watched that yet, and nobody's watched it, check it out. It's very, very strong female characters, very strong leads. You got to remember, he started Angel, Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
He actually wrote, he was part of the writing staff for the movie of Buffy. So, he's all about that. So what better way and a strong character to show real women empowerment is that? Your opinion or your thoughts about where they start? Yeah, I would like to see them kind of start with her in or as Oracle, but going backwards and explaining that she's not going to lie down because of this. Mm-hmm. I've done all of this to become Batwoman. I was this strong to do this, and I overcame everything Bruce threw at me, or I learned on my own how to be that damn good. And a bullet in my back is not going to stop me from, you know, from moving forward. I'm going to continue being the strong woman and seeing her build up from, you know, from being wounded and turning into the Oracle. Maybe not walking again, but, you know, to me, the Oracle was just as strong as the rest of them. Yes, she was the person on the, you know, on the, in the chair, like they talk about in Spider-Man, but she was also the one that, you know, put them straight, you know, when they started second guessing themselves. You know, there were moments when Batman started second guessing themselves or Dick. She put them in place. Like, get your man up and get out there.
Go do it. Yeah. This is what's gonna happen. Like that, yeah. She's like, even behind that chair, man, she had a force.
So yeah, I mean, you talk about a strong female character, and I would have seen like Robin or especially Dick Grayson, but in this day and age, yeah, Batgirl would be perfect right now to really accentuate the strong female characters.
And by the way, I like that idea you have beginning the film of basically her as Oracle and basically going back in time as her days. This is how it started, and basically the film finishing like you said. Like, you know, this didn't stop me, and we're still going, and like heard the ending of the film basically be like, okay, Bruce, you guys got to be here now, or just something like that.
Basically have the movie her confessing to her dad. You know, why did the Joker end up shooting you? Well, this is because I'm Batwoman or Batgirl, and him in between the scenes, them battling out, him getting upset with his daughter for lying to him for all these years, and then him realizing, well, she just did what I taught her to do, you know, and I end up having that father daughter, you know, bonding moment where they break apart, but then they come back together because he's like, yeah, I turned you into this, and, you know, and then having those background scenes and yes, Hollywood, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Good pitch. You should write that shit down. Just saying.
What do you got next? Yeah. So Star Wars, Rangers of the New Republic has definitely been canceled. It's no longer in active development right now. Disney just had their meeting of the stockholders and shareholders, and they were talking about this. It's no longer active. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to stop it. I think they have to do some tweaking because Gina Carano was a big part of that. This was going to be her spinoff from Mandalorian, and it was going to focus really around her. I think they could really still do it with Bill Hader's character.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he walked away free and clear, and I think he's no longer wanted, that he could start working with the Rebellion and becoming, or, you know, not now, but the New Republic, could start helping them out. I know it sounds like it's funny, but they could even do sort of an NYPD kind of thing with just following the pilots or following the guards. You know, they could have an alternating cast if they decide they really want to go further with this. But I think they've got a lot on their books. I knew something was going to drop eventually. Disney is known for it. Star Wars is known for it. That, you know, the Boba Fett series and movie, how many years is we're like, it's on the books. Nope, it's not on the books anymore. You know, finally we are getting it. But they have a lot on their pages right now. News of The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Lando, Ahsoka, The Book of Boba, and then, of course, the Rangers is what was originally, you know, set out.
And Andor, Cassian Andor, too.
Cassian Andor. Yeah, well, these were the ones in early production. Oh. Cassian and Mando have already been started. But these are the ones that they announced last year. But now the changes, you know, with Gina Carano going away, they're not going to recast Cara Dune. So that one is definitely going, it's no longer in development. So we only have to look forward to The Book of Boba Fett, which is arriving in December this year.
Is it Mando season 3 happening too?
I don't know. There was talk that they were possibly going to hold off on that.
I hope not.
We're already in the middle of getting Bad Batch, so we can't say we're not getting new product, all right, from them. So we're in the middle of Bad Batch. That's going to last another, because that's 16 episodes, and they're only episode 4. that's going to last a couple more months, and then we can have a couple of months off because that's probably when they're going to be rolling out Loki. Remember, they like to – Disney likes to overlap. They don't like to have a show going on at the same time as another show. So so we're going to have Loki right after that. And then probably after Loki's done airing, that's when we're probably going to – you know, they're going to roll out Boba. So, yeah, we're not going to be without. Trust me, Disney make sure that we will not be
curious. Without. I haven't heard anything about Mando season 3 yet.
Me either. The last thing I had heard is that they were going to – that they were spending their time and focusing more on the Book of Boba. And then they were going to let Mando roll out next year.
So they're not even filming Mando at all?
I don't know. They might be in the middle of filming, but they might be kind of doing a dual filming thing. You know, because you got to realize a lot of the same cast or the crew is going to be on Mando or are going to be on Boba.
Maybe in double duty.
Yeah, so right now they might be doing double duty. You know, I'm sure we're going to see Mando in there. You know, I'm sure we're going to see other folks. Actually, if you haven't watched the latest episode of Bad Batch, there's a connection. You know, we were talking about that throwing back and forth connection. Ming-Na is on there. Her bounty hunter character is in the latest episode of Bad Batch. Yeah, I didn't know it. I was talking to a friend of ours last night, and she's like, "That's Ming-Na." I go, "What?" She's like, "That's the bounty hunter." I go, "Is it really? I thought it was just a generic bounty hunter." And she's like, "No." And started watching it again today, I was like, "Oh my god, the voice! That is Ming-Na," and it's my only issue. And I know this sounds strange. It doesn't look like her. She looks too white she doesn't look Asian in the series, and that's kind of what threw me off. I was like, is that her? It doesn't even look like her.
I didn't see it, so I don't know. But that's interesting that they tied it like that.
Yeah. So, but you only see her for a little bit. She's there doing her bounty hunter thing, and again, we're talking 20 years, 25 years, before we see her again in the Boba. So,
interesting.
But yeah, so that's what. Yep. So no Rangers of the New Republic right now. So that's going to be on hold. So what else you got?
Well, after the long Halloween Part 2, the 2-part adaptation that won't be the DC's last feature film this year, Warner Brothers announced, which is kind of shocking, that their next animated film, drum roll please, will be DC's Injustice: Gods Among Us. Basically, NetherRealm Studios created a hit video game, Injustice Gods Among Us, in 2013, as well as Part 2, Injustice 2. Within the game, the Joker tricks Superman into murdering his wife, Lois Lane, and their unborn child. After murdering the Joker in revenge, Superman also convinced most of the Justice League to help him take over the world. But Batman and a few others resisted, and there you have the plot line to what we're going to see in Injustice: Gods Among Us, animated movie. Basically, if you played the game, there's sort of a movie in there. If you watch the cutscenes like I have watched on YouTube, but now we're going to get a full animated feature of it. I think this is great. Fantastic, because we're finally going to see what I've always wanted to see, especially in an animated version or live action, is a dictatorish version of Superman, which I feel nowadays we've gotten so many versions of Superman who's been being a dick. We don't have the actual Superman being. Now we're actually going to get that Superman, and that makes me very giddy. What you think, pal?
Kind of interesting. I want to see where they go, because if you notice, they don't say the Gods Among Us in the articles. Yeah, every article I've read, just Injustice. So I don't know if it's going to follow that same one, because again, this is an Elseworld. They may do Injustice and go a different route. Because you realize you do have the game, and you also had the comic book series, the comic book series dealt more with the other corners of that universe that we didn't see in the in the cutscenes in the overall story. So
yeah, the Justice League members,
I'm kind of curious which route they're going to go, how big they're going to make it. Is it a one off? If it's kind of like just a one off, then yeah, I can kind of see that. They're also in talks with the potential of an Injustice 3. They talked about that last year during the fandom. So, there's still that chance that maybe this will be a little bit of a tie-in. So I can't wait to see. But, yeah, I'm stoked for it. Any version, any Elseworld, I'm happy with. Honestly, to be honest, Elseworld kept me in comic books longer than I probably would have been because of the storylines that were going on with the regular stories. Elseworlds really what kept me hooked into still reading books, still picking up graphic novels, because there for a long time, the stories were just not good. For the regular stories, you know, even and that goes both for, you know, for DC and Marvel, because, you know, What If is what kind of what drew me into learning more about the DC or the Marvel world. That's why I'm so stoked about the What If series that's coming out this summer.
Which I think is going to come after Loki, by the way.
Yeah.
Like the programming has to keep going, wasn't overlapping. Yeah.
And I think it would be a really good, interesting thing, because I think if with what is happening in Loki, because of him playing in the timeline, what better way to explain some of the things he did that What If comes after?
Yeah.
You know, that they explain in what if this is what Loki did. You know, he did something he shouldn't have done.
He did some stuff, and now guess what? He screwed up time a little bit. Now we have a different Captain America, the chick, and all that weird stuff. Zombies, yes.
So this week, or last week, right after our show last week that we got wrapped up doing our recording and everything, a new trailer dropped. We're not going to watch it like we normally do because, well, it's sluggish and sounds like shit. So, but Kane and I were talking about it last week, and we finally got to see G.I. Joe Snake Eyes Origin. And what'd you think, man? What did you think? Don't put in what you and I talked about later, but what did you initially think?
The action is awesome. Anytime I can see ninjas with swords fighting, especially on a truck moving fast, I like that stuff. I dug it for what it is. Now, the other stuff I won't talk about, which I didn't like. But everything else, I like. I like the action. And if they're going like sort of like I always talk about The Raid and The Raid 1 and 2, like those Asian movies, which have those high octane type of action scenes and on that, kind of reminded me of The Raid a little bit, especially in that scene in the trailer where he's like jumping from the truck to truck and just like fighting somebody with a sword. That looked really cool. So action wise, it looks good. I dig it. I can't wait to see it. So that's my opinion. No negativity.
Well, no, drop your negativity if you want. I mean, it's your first.
I'm not going to drop it. Like, the only issue I had was he wasn't wearing the mask. That's it. But other than that, it's fine. Because to me, I've always said that Snake Eyes has always been a character that I have always seen with the mask on. And this one, he didn't have the mask on. So maybe they're going to build up to that. I get it.
Again, yeah, it's called Origins. So that's why. Well, that's the one thing I said is, like, imagine Batman starting off right with the mask. It doesn't explain anything about his past. This is what we're getting. We're getting the beginning of it. I think my biggest issue is it is breaking away a lot from the original G.I. Joe, the Larry Hama story. I know they can't go back because a lot of it's based in Vietnam, but they could have, you know, brought it up to more contemporary times, you know, that they were, you know, that they knew each other, that they were a unit, you know, Middle East or whatever, and Snake Eyes lost his face, you know, and then, you know, in an accident, and that's where he met Scarlet. Because obviously Scarlet's around, but we don't know if they know each other, or if she's there as sort of like a recruiter, or, you know, or the whole thing, because we also see Baroness is there, so we know Cobra's involved, and that's kind of curious if Cobra's involved, what to what level? Because in the comic book series, the Cobra was involved because Snake Eyes' family was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver who was Cobra Commander's brother, and Cobra Commander blamed Snake Eyes' family, and back and forth. So there was like this animosity, this you know, unwelcomed and ill-placed animosity between the families.
Which is,
you know, and then, you know, when you find out, you know, what happened, because there is a moment I saw in the trailer where Storm Shadow's on his knees crying and yelling. I assume the Hard Master, his uncle, dies, and well, that leads into that Cobra killed him, and but originally everybody in the clan thought that it was Tommy who's Storm's shadow, that he's the one that killed him, and, you know, we later find out that it's not.
No, it's not.
That it's actually Zartana.
Zartan
is the one that killed him. And
so, what if Zartan will pop up in this film?
That's what I'm kind of curious, but that's why I think Baroness is there. I think she might be the replacement for Zartan, but, you know, Zartan, to be there for a split second would be perfect. You know, just like, hey, oh, there he is, you know, him in the makeup, and, you know, the real makeup, the real Zartan, not the one filled up with little bugs and.
Oh, that was terrible.
And whistling, my darling Clementine, and.
Awful. Yeah. Awful.
I mean, again, like I said, the mask, I see he's going to wear the mask. Obviously, it's there because you just look at the poster and you can see him holding the mask. So, you know, it's going to be there. I did see they did release the toy line already. So you do see him. yeah, you do see him in the mask. You see Storm Shadow in the mask. You see Scarlet. You see Baroness. You see the Red Ninjas, which are the like the side part of the clan, as well as a character I didn't think I would see in movies, but Nightcrawler, who is one of the Cobra agents, who's part connected with the Cobra ninjas. Okay. So yeah, I was like, oh, they're having a Nightcrawler toy. That's interesting. So we'll see. I was like I said, just like I guess with the Batman movie or the trailer, I don't get enough of understanding where things are. I hope they stick to an origin. I mean, they've already changed who he is, like as far as his race. They did the race swap. You know, yes, Snake Eye is blonde hair, blue eyed, red blooded in there. Yeah, white guy. So and again that's one of those things, you know, we talk about, you know, race swapping. If you change a race, you're going to lose some of the things of the character because of his race, because of the things that his culture and the things like where he would grow up would happen. And that's one of the things, the hatred that Tommy had for Snake Eyes was because, well, he's a round eye and he's better than I am in my family's art. And I'm supposed to be the one that's going to take over as the master. But what was happening is the hard master, Tommy's uncle, was paying more attention to Snake Eyes, giving him more attention, teaching him things that hadn't been taught to Tommy yet. And that's when Storm Shadow got upset and jealous. And that's when the hard master does die. Spoilers, it's going to happen. Everybody thought it was Tommy or Storm Shadow that did it. So that's one of the things. So we'll see what route they go. But yeah, that like I said, the race swap I wasn't like too keen on. It's not a make or break for me, like certain Superman, stories that are coming out. But
I was just thinking of that G.I. Joe movie, I think from the mid 2000s, where they actually probably did a better origin of Snake Eyes within that film than the movie itself. Because everything you just said happened in that film. Like Snake Eyes was literally a blonde haired white kid.
Oh yeah, when he was, but again, he was a kid. They met in the army. They didn't grow up together. That's why I was like, there's certain. I was like, man, why are you guys? Why just go with what it is? They were in the service together. They were platoon brothers. They were squad brothers. Because in the comic books, it was Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, and Stalker, and two other guys. One of the other guys got killed. The other one got wounded, and they thought he died. And you come later to find out he's actually one of the clones. That you had the Fred series in G.I. Joe, the Crimson Guardmen's, they were all Freds. One of them was Fred. So there's like all this connection. And then of course you have the connection with Stalker, who is who was right there with them and they were, you know, like I said, they were squad brothers. They bled together. And so you not only have, you know, you Snake Eyes feeling that honor, you have Stalker feeling that honor. So there's this weird, you know, triad with them together. So really cool ideas. Just see which route they go. I know they can't do certain things. And I think it was who said it? Michael. Oh, God. Drawing a blank on his name.
The actor?
Yeah, Michael. He was Killmonger.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan. He made a comment last week, and I loved it. I wanted to grab it and read it to you or send it to you. But he made the comment. He's like, yeah, the diversity like that is changing and weakening how you tell stories, because you have to be so focused a lot of times on making sure we don't offend anybody, or that this, you know, that we have to have inclusion for everybody. And I'm like, and when he said that, he's like, yeah, it's kind of hurting the storytelling field, you know, that you have to do these things. I'm like, wow, damn,
Superman.
That was rough. Yeah. And it's like, I think there was something, because it came out earlier this weekend. Cindy and I were talking about it, and I was laughing about it, is Selma Hayek came out and she was talking about the Eternals, and she made the comment that, you know, that the diversity in the cast and the characters wasn't done for diversity's sake. And then she follows it up with the comment that it's to make sure that there's inclusion for everybody. And then I was like, I kind of raised my hand. I'm like, well, isn't that for diversity's sake? To make sure that everybody's included. I was like, that's the same thing. So it's funny. It's a lot of the studio and they don't think about it. They're like, well, we're doing it because we want to have people, you know, a diverse cast, which I get, and I want to see diverse characters and stories, But when you're forcing diversity, that's when it kind of gets out of hand. Take those characters, those Asian characters, like they're doing with Shang Li, you know, that's coming out. There are more of those. There isn't just that one character, guys. You know, the same thing with, you know, black characters and superheroes. You know, there is more than Black Panther. You know, it's out there that there's a, you know, an echelon of great black characters and
tons that they haven't even touched.
And just, you know, I'm not getting on that soapbox, but there are other ones to do. There's not just one thing to do. Oh, okay, hey, we did our black superhero movie, we can move on and do other things. No. Do more of that, and don't change the race of somebody else because you know that's a guaranteed moneymaker, because the name is a guaranteed moneymaker. No, put out something that isn't known, because guess what? You'll be surprised, and people will go there going, wow, that's an original thought, original character. It's a minority character. It's a black or Asian. And guess what? That will be your surprise hit for the summer. That will be your Guardians of the Galaxy in the future. So
trust your storytelling, man. Yeah. Trust your storytelling and don't cater to needs of other people. Just trust your storytelling. Whatever your storytelling says, your script says, and that's the way it is. That's the way the character was written. And if he's white, if he's black, if he's blue or whatever, that's the way you're going to make the film. Don't shoehorn somebody in, because it's never works. And that's why I've been totally against this Superman movie. But again, I'm not going to get on that soapbox. But.
All right, guys. You got anything else, man?
No, I'm finished, bro.
All right, perfect. Well, I hope you guys have a great week. We will see you again in 2 weeks. You will see us throughout the week, though. We're still going to be doing our weekly, our daily events that we do on Facebook. Again, we are stretching out our wings. Make sure you do catch Kane on his Heroes Asylum, but the Heroes Midnight movie is coming out this week. What are we releasing this week? American Graffiti.
American Graffiti.
Yeah, American Graffiti is this week. The week after will be Jaws. And then, so make sure you guys check that out, as well as the ever-changing and ever-popular Low Blows and Chair Shots for you guys that are out there that are wrestling fans.
Yeah, Low Blows and Chair Shots, baby. We're evolving to the stage phase two of Low Blows and Chair Shots. We have some fun stuff going on there, and check that out. We love the likes and all that good stuff.
And make sure you guys do check out their Facebook page, because they do have a Facebook page, and that's where you will find their shows posted every week.
Yes, sir. Check it out. The Facebook page. I got to start putting stuff in the Facebook. I lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. All right, guys. So we hope you guys have a great week. We will check you guys out later. And like I said, we will miss you guys, but we will be back in 2 weeks.
Yes, and check out the Twitter page, Heroes_Asylum_podcast, and Instagram with the Heroes Asylum. And again, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. And always get to the asylum. See ya.